Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Here's what I think the Mets are going to do and they should do, and it's much to the chagrin of many a Met fan, including the opinion that Sean just gave, which is, hey, if you think the team is good, you got to go all in. You got to go for it. You got to go out and try to improve this roster. And while I want the Mets to improve their roster, I do not want to do it at the cost of big prospects. Now, would it be different if this was 2 years ago? Yeah. In 2022, I think when you have a team that's about to win 100 games, when you have a legitimate chance to win the NL East, there is more aggressiveness in terms of getting a win now player. But for this team, a team that I thought coming in could compete for a playoff spot, be in the mid to high 80s, and it's played out in that way, I don't want to do anything foolish. And when I look at what the cost has been for Jason Adam, who's a nice relief pitcher, and the cost for Carlos Estevez, that is not something I'm interested in.
Well,
so to my fellow Met fan and to you, Sean, I do not want to give up that kind of cost for rentals to just try to win now to make you feel better. I think that's stupid long term.
Well, remember, first of all, Jason Adam has a couple years control, which is why you're getting that kind of
hole. He's a relief pitcher.
And I understand that, Evan. Here's the problem.
They're so up and down.
A really, really good team president and general manager has to make the toughest of decisions in terms of like the real evaluation of the team. David Stern set up this Met team. Manaea, Severino, late. How long did it take to sign J.D. Martinez with the idea of either we're going to be in position where we're a real contender and we have all these surprises and then we can make the push and we arrive a year early, or these are great lottery tickets to keep building our
farm system. Why is it either or?
My point is the Mets are not the typical team to me that is set up in a way where, you know, we can just stand pat or whatever. The point of signing these guys was to turn them into assets if you weren't going to go for it. And if Stearns isn't going to go for it, he's already sort of tried to do that now with Jesse Winker. I think at this point, then wave the white flag and tell me, I don't believe.
First of all, it's ridiculous. What they gave up for Jesse Winker, who I wanted and I love the fit.
Not a lot.
They gave up Tyler Stewart, right, who's like their 23rd ranked prospect. Those are the kinds of moves I want them to make.
Evan,
it's not one or all, it's not all or nothing, which is what you're suggesting, and a lot of Met fans have suggested. Like, either you sell everybody or you go nuts and you buy everybody for crazy costs.
Will you not feel hollow if we get to September where the Mets' difficult schedule hits up and the Phillies maybe get hot by that time, and suddenly we look up on that last weekend of the year and the Mets are two out with three to go, and you realize they actually do miss out, and it's the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Braves in the playoffs? Will you not look back and go, damn, we should have sold a couple of these guys. Look at the return on everybody.
No, you can't sell people when you're in a wild card spot. So which one are you arguing with me with? That they should sell guys or they should make stupid buys like trading two top prospects for Jason Adam, who's a relief pitcher, or trade two big prospects for Carlos Estevez? Like, which one? Because I'll argue both. Are you saying, which one are you arguing
with? I think they should buy at this point. I do.
Stupidly?
Define stupidly.
I just told you.
I don't think you have to do that. What is it going to cost for Tanner Scott on a rental?
Sean, a lot.
Okay.
I'll give you the answer. A lot. Like, I don't think it's smart long term. Yes, it helps short term, of course.
But also long term, short term, you have the money to sign any of these guys too and make your team better when they're really competitive in the next 2-3 years.
But you're giving up key prospects to do it. Like, I'm not a prospect hugger, but I think in this situation, the Mets are who we think they are. They're a decent team. They got a chance to make the playoffs. And yes, like I've always argued with you, they get lucky at the right time. They can get hot.
I don't like middling.
Middling it is the smartest thing for them to do.
Either be honest and trade guys for major prospects if you're not going to buy, and then you have the real depth of a farm system to sell next year when you're an even more serious contender, or go for it. I think the Mets should go for it.
Why not do somewhere in the middle like they're probably going to do? See,
because that's how you get left in the dust. The Diamondbacks have already added Puck. All right, like this is the
look good yesterday. Struck out the side too, AJ Puck.
Okay,
I agree. They made good moves. So what does that mean?
So you're going to watch all these other teams that you're competing with, all on that same peer tier level, make these moves and add, and you stand pat and you think it's going to be good enough by standing pat. That's how you get
no, with no, your no. Hold on. I'm not saying it's good enough. Like honestly, the Mets so far have acquired 3 relief pitchers. They brought in Alex Young, who's looked good so far. Mm-hmm. They brought in Ryan Stanek, who had a terrible debut, and they brought in Phil Maton, who's pitched well. Okay. And the beauty about those 3 relievers, granted it's not Carlos Estevez, I know. Granted it's not Tanner Scott or Jason Adam, is it cost them nothing. See, I want to eat my cake and have it too.
And it's very hard
I don't want. Well, I'm telling you what I would do. And by the way, the Mets are going to do the same thing.
When you do that, you tend to be left at the altar.
In terms of what?
Playoffs at the end of the year.
Well, it's a risk. But I'd rather do that than give up the kind of prospect capital it's costing to get these players. I'm sorry.
But without a big risk, there's no big reward. And I think that's what Sean is alluding to here. You can't just hedge your bets your entire life. Yeah. And if you're running an organization.
Not your entire life. No. I don't like that phrase because in 2022 was different. Then it made sense to go quote unquote all in when you have a 100 win team and a realistic chance to win a division. This team doesn't have either.
Do you think the Mets have a great lineup?
I think they have a very good lineup, yes.
Do you think they've had a very good starting rotation?
No, I think they've had an average rotation.
I disagree.
Probably slightly below average if you actually look at numbers.
I disagree.
Now, if you want to just base it on emotions or expectations, you're right. But based on like performance, it's been average to below average.
Okay, but you would agree that the weakest part of this team is the bullpen.
Yes.
So if that bullpen can level up and be as good as the lineup and the starting rotation, wouldn't this be close to a 100-win team?
No.
So I disagree.
They're not a 100-win team, dude.
Okay.
I've enjoyed this season. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. As I've argued with Sean and others, once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. They are not the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, could they upset them in a divisional series? Sure. But that's not the kind of team that should be trading top prospects for rental relievers. It's stupid.
They also don't have to win 100 games.
What was that?
They also don't have to win 100 games. They just have to get in and be at their best that they can be and beat the Phillies or knockoff teams.
I get that they can go on a run, but that is not the right sound strategy long-term to trade top prospects for relievers who year-to-year are up and down hoping you win the lottery ticket.
Evan.
That's a bad strategy.
This offseason, if Steve Cohen really does open up the pocketbooks, I'm not even going to do the Soto game here. They sign Corbin Burns and whoever you want. Probably, maybe they don't bring back Pete and they do sign Bregman and they move Vientos to first. Whatever the case may be, look at the landscape of the National League. The Mets could fortify themselves as right there with the Phillies and Dodgers up there in terms of it.
Okay.
Now, you tell me when you get an arms race at next deadline and it's the Phillies, Dodgers, whatever teams in the American League jockeying, and who knows how many sellers year to year there are with the wild card. What behooves the Mets more this year? Standing pat and crossing your fingers and not buying this year?
Mm-hmm.
Or at this point, turn around, you know what? We do have these lottery tickets. Let's sell them. And then we have more prospects that we can outbid everybody next year at the deadline truly make yourselves a World Series contender.
So what I'm being tasked to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, is argue with the two extremes. I've got to argue with Lugie. And by the way, I respect where you guys are coming from. So when I say extremes, I'm not talking about political extremes.
I don't think it's being unreasonable.
But Lugie's telling me you got to buy. And now you want to engage in an argument on why the New York Mets, as the third or second wild card team right now, should sell their pieces because it's going to help them at the trade deadline next year. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not trying to make this about selling now. I'm saying if you're not going to go all in and buy, I think the better strategy, instead of just standing pat and middling this thing, would be then just to be honest with what your future is.
No, I think the best strategy, here's why you're wrong.
I prefer the buy method right now.
Okay, that's fine. I think most Met fans do. I understand I may be in the minority because you're all like, get me the top players now. If you trade top prospects for middling relief pitchers or guys that you think are top line relief pitchers, and then next year after Steve has this big offseason and here's Soto and here's Corbin Burns, and now you're truly a go-for-it team and you just traded 3 of your top prospects a year earlier because you had a hunch that an 85-win team would go on a run, you're in a weaker position next year. So it's not just about developing the prospects. It's about using them potentially next year or the year after at the trade deadline or this offseason in a big trade. Right now, what the Mets are doing, as much as people don't love it, as much as my Mets tax chat doesn't love it, is they're trying to get better without spending a lot.
Okay.
Which is what you probably do when you take your family out to dinner. I want to get them the best dinner possible, but I don't want to spend a lot of money. And that's what the Mets are doing. Now, let me just say this.
Don't you dare take a shot at Outback Steakhouse. It's a great cut.
Now, if the Mets could add by using their financial might, I'm all in. You know, I've heard the idea. Pete Hoffman suggested it. A caller suggested it over the weekend. I got a bunch of emails about it that maybe the Mets should take on a contract like George Springer or a contract like Javier Baez and use that as a weapon to take back players without giving up prospects. Fine. I got no problem with that. But I do have a problem in a year in which the Mets are what? A mid-80s team to go all in. That's a stupid strategy. And here's the good news. David Stearns agrees with me. He's not going to make these all-in trades to give you some kind of joy because they don't make sense long-term for the franchise.
Next year, when you get outbid by the Phillies and Dodgers and didn't also try for it this year, you're going to be sitting there going, damn it, we should have done something, one or the other.
And you keep bringing up prospects. Mm-hmm. 98% of them never pan out.
Did you hear what I said about the prospects before? I suggested that they could be used next year at the trade deadline when the Mets are on pace to win 100 games.
You know what,
Evan? You will be less positioned, and then you'll cry about it on the radio.
Yeah.
How come we have no prospects? Because, I don't know, maybe because you sent Drew Gilbert to the White Sox for Eric Fetty.
Francisco Lindor was a prospect just like Acuna Jr.
You know what I want to stop hearing as a Met fan, because I've heard it for 38 years? Next year! How about this year?
But they're not that. They're not on that level, bro. I like them. I've been high on them, but they're not all in level. Is that not the truth?
And then what I would tell you as far as I disagree with you.
You
I think
they're next level all-in team?
If they could improve the team even more, yes, I do.
I want them to improve the team, Loogie. I don't want them to improve the team in an irresponsible way.
They have the third best lineup in the National League. I mean,
I know, but they also have the 19th best starting rotation in baseball. I was told earlier by Loogie that it's been great this year. That's not true, bro. You could say it as much as you want.
When Alvarez is behind the plate, it's been really, really good.
Don't play that game.
And you know this too. Starting pitching is going to the wayside. It's overrated. It's about the bullpen. It's about getting those outs at the end of the game. Just ask Yankee fans. They're trying to get a reliever because they know Holmes can't save games. You need to get the outs at the end of the game. We saw it with the Royals. They beat us with starting pitching that no one could even remember. Get a great bullpen. You have a deep lineup. Actually, that was the Royals' formula that beat us.
I know, but the problem with relievers is they are so up and down. And the honest way to build a good bullpen is either develop young arms or find guys off the scrap heap. Like trading big prospects for Jason Adam and Carlos Estevez, and I get why the Phillies did it. I'm not even ripping them. It's irresponsible for where the Mets are at. Why? Just to give you guys a nice shiny toy in late July?
I sound
like what?
You sound scared.
No, I'm being smart.
No. You sound
scared. I'm being smart.
If you were being smart, then the honest, uncomfortable conversation is, you know what, guys? We are just a middle 80-win team. We can't just hope in a lottery ticket with the Diamondbacks. We should sell these. Nobody wants to hear that.
No, Sean.
But that actually would be being smart.
Sean, you guys are doing the extreme game.
It's not being the extreme game.
He's saying you got to go all in. You never know. They go win a World Series. And you're saying if you're not going to do that, sell everybody off.
That's not being extreme.
That's not true.
Take your word. That's being smart.
No, right now being smart is strategic buys. Was Jesse Winker a good trade in your mind?
Yes.
Does that improve the Mets?
Yes.
They gave up nothing.
But I also thought that was a good trade because when I see Jesse Winker come through with nothing, it tells me Stearns is going for it. They're going to go trade for a big reliever.
Guys get lost in words. Going for it. Yeah, going for it in a smart way. Not going for it by giving the Tampa Bay Rays whatever they want for a reliever.
It's not about anything you want. Going for it in a smart way means let's add some serious missiles here that get us out of the National League.
The only way you even, and they're not serious missiles, these guys being traded. They're decent players. The cost is too high. Now, next year, or back in 2022, when we have these conversations, my answer would be, you know what? It's worth it. This team can win a World Series. Let's freaking go. Sorry, you got to take risks. In 2022, the biggest mistake Billy Epler made was that he didn't take those risks. This is not the moment. This is not the roster. These are not the players to take that risk for. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you know what helps take those risks? Improving your farm system, which they could do with the other
two. Loogie, I love Sean. I love
him. Why do I always have to have the last word?
Why does he always have to have the last word?
Because I'm right, damn it.
Even sometimes, like, I've let you get the last word, I let Loogie get, and I go to a call.
All right, go to
the
call.
But he needs to get the last word, Loogie.
What am I, in the back seat? You're my parents, and you're fighting, and I have to pick sides here? I don't want to pick sides. You both are stubborn.
Can I get the last word?
No!
Okay.
That's Paul Rosenberg, by the way, doing a great job running the board today. I like Rosie. Me and him have great political discussions via text message.
I'd comment on Rosie, but I don't want the last word.
Like, you just had it, so congratulations. Let's go to Kerry in Sayreville, New Jersey. How are you doing today, Kerry?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Just want to thank you. We were in Boston Saturday and last night. We were up at Fenway, and now we're making the ride to Philly for tonight's game. So you guys are keeping us company for the ride.
Wow.
Kerry, another trip to Philly. Hopefully it ends positive.
I got a good streak going. I think I'll be okay. I'll bring a W.
That is tremendous. So you guys went to the Boston series. Which two games did you say you went to?
Saturday, and then last night I got tickets on the Monster for my husband for his 41st
birthday. I sat on the Monster with my oldest son, but unfortunately in the fourth inning the rain came and they stopped it and it actually got suspended. So I had four innings on the Monster. What was your experience like on that Monster last night?
I didn't want to leave. I feel like, sitting anywhere else will just be subpar. It's beautiful up there.
It's great.
A unique experience, and it's so spacious compared to all the other seats in Fenway.
I agree.
But it's just such a unique level to be on. Yeah, you're close, but yet you're high. It was gorgeous up there.
Awesome.
I loved it.
So now you're going to Philly. You're going to all three games or just one or two games?
Just one, just tonight, and then head home tomorrow.
Now, Kerry, you wore a Deuce McBride jersey to Knicks Sixers when we were there. Do you have a unique Yankee jersey you're wearing to this?
I have an Austin Wells player shirt, but it's number 88 from last year, not 28.
Perfect. That is perfect.
I think that's great. Well, guys, have a very good time. Now, that's dedicated fandom. And that's the perfect way to spend the summer. You go to Boston for Yankees, Red Sox, and you shoot down I-95 for Yankees, Phillies. I think there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans making that trip. I'm sure there are a lot of Yankee fans listening right now making the trip. Because here in the middle of the summer, it's so much easier to take a day off with most jobs.
Yeah.
So this is and the Yankees only go to Philadelphia now once every 2 years.
Correct.
So it's a rarity. So this is a great trip to make. It's a wonderful ballpark. It's a terrible city. I mean, the city sucks. But the ballpark is tremendous. You got a great pitching matchup tonight and tomorrow. You got Luis Gil, Zach Wheeler tonight. You got Garrett Cole, Aaron Nola tomorrow. And you know what the Phillies are? You know what I admire about the Philadelphia Phillies?
What?
They have been mediocre for over a month.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
They haven't won a series in their last seven.
Is that true?
Yes.
See, I didn't know that.
You gotta follow Spike Eskin on Twitter.
He tweets about baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised. The Philadelphia Phillies in their last 40 games are 20-20. And that's how you become a great team, believe it or not. What the Philadelphia Phillies have been able to do, and this is what the Yankees have missed out on this year, and certainly the Mets did too, is that when you're not playing well, just be mediocre. And if you do that and then put together one or two really good hot streaks, you win 95 games. The key is when things aren't going well, and they haven't been going well for the Phillies, just be an average, mediocre team. And the Phillies have been like that for over a month, but because they played so well early and things haven't spiraled in a bad way, they're 65-40, and they've got full control of the National League East. Some may say, the NL East is over. They may say that. But in this case, they're right, because it is over.
And who Kerry's not going to see, we didn't break glass on this officially now, Jamai Jones has been DFA'd.
Oh, break the glass there, Rosie!
The Yankees have made this official. Jamai Jones DFA'd a couple days after J.D. Davis DFA'd, or one day after Giancarlo Stanton is activated and back.
Let's go. So Giancarlo Stanton is back, and I'm very excited about this. For the first time here on Evan and Tiki, we are going to really pay off a long-term bet.
Here are the results of an Evan and Tiki long-term bet.
Thank you, Mr. Voice Guy. So, when Giancarlo Stanton first went down, we all made predictions when he would come back. I have the audio on my phone right now of everybody's said predictions.
Now, before you play it, Evan.
Yes.
Do we know the exact date he went down?
I mean, I could go look that up.
I only asked because Aaron Boone told us at Citi Field it would only be 4 weeks total.
All right, give me 1 second.
And if you remember, that's what we based our predictions on.
I understand. Well, I have a document on my tablet called Show Predictions. All right, hold on a second.
All right.
Pete Alonso's new contract, quarterback starts for the Giants, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce still being a couple.
June 23rd.
Juan Soto's contract, Bill Belichick's predictions. June 24th at 4:17 p.m., we all made our predictions.
Okay, so June 23rd, he went in the IL.
So, ladies and gentlemen, who won our long-term bet on Giancarlo Stanton returning, who is returning tonight, and he should be in the Yankee lineup. Let's first hear from Tiki Barber.
July 19th.
So your official prediction is July 19th.
Less than a month.
This is Tiki Barber.
July 19th.
Still close, off by 10 days.
Not bad. Are you ready for number two?
All right.
Hold on a second. Let me get this one ready to go. This person, actually, let's just play it and find out who this person is.
July 19th.
Oh, that's Tiki again. Hold on.
Tuesday, August 6th versus the Angels.
August 6th against the
Angels. Wow, it was a week off.
Kiss my fat ass!
August 6th against the Angels. Not very good. How about this guy?
Loogie, go ahead.
July 30th, day before the deadline.
Whoa.
Loogie! Whoa!
Listen.
Let's see what I said.
August 2nd against the Toronto Blue Jays. That's when he returns.
I'm a loser.
This week, too. Oh, you're so angry that you had the week, but he beat you.
He beat me.
Your price is right at him, and he was right.
Yes, he was. Loogie was off by one day. He said July 30th, the day of the trade deadline. Today is July 29th. So I want to congratulate Thomas Lugauer. He's been hot lately.
Positive Tommy remains undefeated. This is why I'm the future, because I can see the future.
This is why I'm a generation of talent.
I do have to give him crap for one thing.
What's that?
Because he did get this right. And the only reason I'm now giving him crap is because he said he could see the future. He also said the Mets were going to sweep the Braves this weekend.
He did.
You know, just when I'm starting to feel good about myself, I ran into Craig earlier off air, and he said some nice things, and then he goes, you lost too much weight, which is classic Craig, compliment you, then knock you. And then you can't let me have 30 seconds of glory.
Now, I think Loogie was technically right, because last week the Mets swept the Yankees in a two-game series.
Yeah.
The Mets swept the Braves in a two-game series and then got swept in the other two-game series. So Loogie was right, and I was right.
No, you were right about anything. But Loogie was right about Giancarlo's return date. I think what this shows you, other than Tiki, who was way off by saying July 19th, he was way too optimistic, is that, you know, we were kind of like all on the same page on how much time he was going to miss.
Yeah.
Which is sort of accurate to what Aaron Boone said.
Yeah, that's also the truth. I think what this also shows us is that the Yankees were full of utter crap when they batted Jermaine Jones leadoff and J.D. Davis cleanup, and less than a week later, they're both gone. So how did those guys give them really the best protection? Remember when I yelled about that Hard Rock and Evans said, "No, you're nuts. What are you going to do there? Look at his numbers.
Well,
look at his numbers. They're both DFA'd."
But to be fair about that, the Yankees just brought Giancarlo Stanton back, and they just acquired Jazz Chisholm Jr.
That's the point, Evan. So those guys, in theory, for playing real Major League Baseball, should have been your eighth and ninth hitter. They should not have been leading off in cleanup if they're a week away from being gone.
So the Subway Series, which feels like it was 9 months ago, but it was literally, was it less than a week ago now?
Yeah.
It was last week?
Tuesday night.
It was Tuesday night.
So 6 days later.
Think about this for a second. Jermaine Jones gone.
See ya.
That's number one. He's out. See you later. J.D. Davis gone. See you later.
Peace.
And Jake Diekman, who was a hero, got DFA'd by the Mets today. He's gone too.
All the big players from that night are gone. And now the Marlin Keys can reunite. Giancarlo and Jazz.
I don't think they were ever teammates.
It doesn't matter. I'm just trying to stretch here.
That's all right. What do we got now?
All right, we have Mets news. Not a trade, but we do have Mets news. Harrison Bader back in the lineup tonight. This is according to Mike Puma, and Jesse Winker is in right field.
Very good. Well, Harrison Bader, you could tell, he had a bat yesterday, almost like he was inching to pinch hit.
Yeah.
And he hadn't played in a couple of days, so it'll certainly help to have him back. I'm glad Jesse Winker's playing. I had a major issue, and I said this on the Rico Bronya, so you may have heard this before if you listen. I had a major issue with the fact that Jesse Winker didn't play on Sunday. The Mets traded for the guy. He's excited to be a Met. He shows up at 7 a.m. or has a flight at 7 a.m. He could have been on the roster. He was on the roster. Could have been in the lineup. Ends up pinch hitting late in a meaningless situation. Meanwhile, Jazz Chisholm arrives at Fenway at like 5:30.
Yeah.
And Boone just throws him into the lineup. Danny Jansen, who the Red Sox just acquired, thrown into the lineup. And the reason it bothered me was because Jesse Winker's got this thing going for him. He's got this like edge to him.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He's got this feel for drama to him. It's why he stuck it to the Mets as often as he did.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just had this feeling like if you got him in the lineup on Sunday, a big spot would have found them early, and instead of the Mets leaving a country on base and failing to drive runs in, maybe Jesse Winker parks one off the Pepsi porch. You know what I'm saying?
He could have.
Or the Coca-Cola corner, whatever the hell they're calling it now.
Yeah, right. Don't waste any time. Get him right in the lineup, and he's there tonight. I tell you, though, in September, some of you Mets fans are not going to like Jesse Winker.
Why is that? You think he's going to stink?
No. Did you watch the game yesterday, or were you at the game?
I did not go to the game, but I did something you'd be very proud of, Sean. In the eighth inning, I shut it off. Very rare for me, yeah.
I thought I was the bad fan for doing that stuff.
They were losing 8-0. My family was in town. Like, I mean,
come back.
I was actually a good human for a change.
Well, we learned. I am proud of you. Did they bring the cup?
Did they bring what cup?
The Stanley Cup.
No, but they all wore Florida Panther Stanley Cup hats and T-shirts. Let me guess. Winker's a big Bills fan. You think that's a concern?
Yeah, I mean, the football season's going to start for you Met and Jet fans, and Jesse Winker's not just a Bills fan, he's a big Bills fan. He can bring the TV into the clubhouse,
yeah,
watching the Bills games.
I tell you why it doesn't bother me. If anything, it actually excites me. I think that's the sign of a guy who gets it. And New York is a very complicated town. We take our winning very, very seriously. And I think there are a lot of guys who don't get it. And with Jesse Winker, see, Jesse was very misunderstood. When he was waving like a douche to us many years ago, we didn't like him. We cursed at him. We said bad things about him. I said many bad things about him. And then as time went by, I realized, oh, I get him now. I get him. He understands us. And he's playing the game with us.
That's true.
And now that he's one of us, I think he's going to flourish here, which is a part of why I wanted him in the lineup yesterday.
I don't disagree, but there's another part of that that annoyed me yesterday during the broadcast.
Go ahead.
He's a New Yorker. He gets it. He's from the Buffalo area. He is not like the tri-state trash we are down here.
Tri-state. I'm not saying he's a New Yorker like us. I'm saying he gets New York like
us. No, I get what you're saying. They made it seem like an immaterial. What do you expect? That's not a real New Yorker. He's basically Canadian.
Yeah. I mean, he's more so Canadian than he is a New Yorker.
He's more associated with Tim Hortons than he is Dunkin', and that's a problem.
But he acts like a New Yorker. And isn't that the most important thing?
Sure.
Let's go to Woody in Plattsburgh. What's up, Woody?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good
beautiful
afternoon.
Beautiful day out. Yes. Sean, I got to say, you did a nice job on Friday with C-Mac.
Thank you, Woody.
Just wanted to let you know. It was a pleasant listen, and shout out to Loogie. He killed it yesterday yesterday as well. Might be a little biased because he fast-tracked my phone call. Not like, you know, none of the other hosts seem to do that, but my boy, Lugie, you know, what a French four. So it's all good.
Right.
Ev,
yes.
Welcome back from Mexico.
I'm
moving there myself in 2 months, so I'm very excited.
Look at that. What part of Mexico are you moving to, out of curiosity?
I'm going to Mazatlan.
I have to look that up. Mazatlan?
Look it up.
Mexico.
Mazatlan, yeah.
Do you think there's anybody else from Plattsburgh that's moving to Mexico in the same calendar year? I mean, what an oddball shift.
That's a fact. It's just me. I'm the only one. Okay. Let me, Ev, I got to say, the way you opened the show, it did my heart some good because I enjoy the miserable Evan Mets fan, the manic Mets fan, the sky is falling Mets fan. That's the Evan that I know and love. When I go into my timeline and I see these giddy in-game and post-game tweets about upcoming Rico broadcasts and stuff, it just kills me. So it's nice to have you back. I hope the Mets continue to crash and burn because I love you.
Oh.
So that's just how it is. That's the version of you that I love the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
But anyway, listen, the Yankees, you got to like what you saw this weekend. I totally agree. Saturday night was definitely a turning point. And, you know, Rodon followed up with a nice outing. It's like I said with Kiki, I think a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Rodon and his pitch sequencing, that there was nothing wrong with his stuff. It was just, you know, he has become very predictable. So that's a great
sign. I'll tell you this, Woody. I think that you and Tiki, at least in one start, were proven right. Because that was one of the big changes that Carlos made. It was very, very different in terms of what he was throwing. And it worked. And where I give him credit, and this doesn't mean I'm fully endorsing, oh, he can handle New York, no problem. I'm reacting to a start. And I believe it's important to give guys credit when they perform or when they stink. We got to call it like it is. What I was really impressed by was the guts he showed after he gave up the back-to-back home runs on the triple. Because that was a moment at 4-2, runner on third, less than two outs, where he could have tanked.
Mentally imploded.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
And he responded in a big way, and I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, I was pumped for him big time. And this last thing on the Red Sox, I've had enough of Rob Refsnyder, too.
Yeah.
Get lost.
He's turned into a hell of a player.
He has.
He's useful player.
He defines pain in the ass now. I can't take facing him.
No, I understand. Let's go to Karen on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Karen?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I wanted to say, Lugie, you killed it. You really did great yesterday. You really did. I was listening to you on the beat.
Was he positive yesterday after the loss? Was he making us feel better?
Totally. He was so positive. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, he was not on after the loss. I would have liked to hear him then.
I thought he was on during the loss, though. Weren't you on at 2, 3 o'clock?
Come on, Sean. Leave
us alone. I'm just bringing it up. It would have been very tough for Tommy at 4 o'clock to be positive.
Yeah, but wait, in fairness, Karen, because you listened, it was in the midst of them losing.
Honestly, I think he'd still be positive.
Wasn't he on in the midst of them getting their ass kicked, though?
Yeah, but
he was not. Well, because I turned him off to listen to the game, but no, he was great in the beginning.
Okay.
Mm. And then I had to listen to that horrible game.
Did you listen to Sean after Lugie? Because he was probably a real douche, if you ask me.
No, I couldn't even listen to him on the way home. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had to listen to, like, music. Because I'm like, all right, I can't listen to Sean, can't listen to the game.
All right, Karen.
Because I'm going to throw up soon. Okay. So my point is that Evan.
Yes.
I think it was Sean, who said, thank God that you stopped saying Jazz Chisholm, because that was making me nuts. So no more saying the name. We got it. We know you have it under control.
Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, God. I just can't hear the name anymore.
Yes.
But I actually like the Jesse Winker thing. I think it was definitely because he was being playful, like waving in the stands and stuff like that. I mean, I think it's funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think it's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time when he was hitting game-winning home runs off Edwin Diaz and making sliding catches. But I do think that it showed a level of, hey, this is fun. And sometimes handling New York is half the battle. And we've talked about that with Carlos Rodon. We've talked about that with a lot of athletes who have come here. And Jesse Winker has been an up-and-down player throughout his major league career. And let's not get confused on who he is. He's having a good year this year.
Right.
He had a terrible year 2 years ago. He looked like a promising young player with Cincinnati before that. But I think one of the important things when you acquire a player is, do they get it? Can they handle this marketplace? And I think all of his back and forth show us that he probably can.
Right.
And he's also significantly better than DJ Stewart. So the New York Mets became a better team when they traded their 23rd best prospect in Tyler Stewart for Jesse Winker. And those are the kinds of trades I like. I like getting value and giving up nothing.
Okay. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that until you don't trade guys on one-year deals. That's my last word.
Okay. So the Mets should sell. Is that really what you're trying to say?
They should buy, but if they're not going to buy, they should sell. They should not do what you're saying, which is stay in the middle ground.
You're an extremist. You're like typical America right now. I mean, basically, you're an extremist.
I'm fat, bald, and extreme.
You really are.
I am a typical American. I'm proud of it, damn it.
I'm not saying if he's an extreme right-winger or an extreme left-winger. I haven't figured that one out yet, but he's one of them. I can tell you that right now.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
I play the position Vincent Trocheck plays.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Gleyber Torres is causing a major problem that we address when we come back. Evan and Tiki on this Monday afternoon. Tiki off today. He will be back tomorrow for the trade deadline show. We look forward to that. We'll be on throughout the MLB trade deadline. The clock will expire at 6 o'clock. And we'll see what the New York Mets and the New York Yankees do. We'll get to Gleyber Torres in a second, but John Heyman put out some information about Blake Snell. And this is where I'm interested. This is where you have me, who's risk-averse to trading prospects, saying, now this is my jam. If you're just tuning in, I don't want the Mets trading top prospects. I don't want the Mets going, quote-unquote, all in, because I think it's stupid. I think they should make strategic buys. Getting Jesse Winker for Tyler Stewart, their 23rd-ranked prospect, strategic buy. Picking up Ryan Stanek for basically nothing, even though his debut was a dud, strategic buy. Same with Phil Maton. The San Francisco Giants are telling teams, according to John Heyman, they are unwilling to pay down Blake Snell's contract. Blake Snell, his deal includes $30 million next year as a player option. Okay, big amount of money. Now, half of it is deferred, which John doesn't include, but I've done my research.
Okay.
But he's making $30 million next year. Blake Snell is coming off of this incredibly dominant performance, and it looks like he has kind of straightened this season out. If it's going to come down to money, then bring him in.
Money move.
It's a money move. The Mets have the money. Flex the financial might. And I think everybody would be happy because while I had concerns about Blake Snell, my concerns were always long-term concerns. Bringing him in on a deal for the rest of this year and next year, not a huge concern. If that deal turns into a money deal, I'm interested. But if it turns into the Mets having to trade Brandon Sprout or big-time prospects, I'm sorry. I'm out. I'm not interested, but this is the kind of deal that would wet my whistle.
Yeah, if it's a money deal and they get Blake Snell, then I think it's an absolute no-brainer. But as you said, the Giants have been on the fringe periphery of this whole playoff thing, too. So if that's, you know, that's why this thing is slowly moving along here, they probably are going to try to have their cake and eat it, too. They're probably going to want a little bit of both. And I still imagine if the deal does get done, you might find another taker that will be moving a move.
Then I'm not trading him. Like, it's that simple. Like, if the San Francisco Giants need top-line prospects for him, okay, well, then I'm out. Then it'll be somebody else. But my point to you is that, not that it's going to happen. I have no idea if it's going to happen. But that's the kind of move that the Mets should be making. Use the financial might that they used last year when they essentially bought prospects, when they brought in Luis Angel Acuna, Andrew Gilbert, and Ryan Clifford. And that's the kind of move that makes sense. So we'll see how this goes over the next 24 hours. But the money move is the Met move. Prospect move, I'm out.
I guess that explains why that trade is moving at a Snell's pace.
No, oh, jeez.
You liked that one. He liked that one.
1 to 10, Rosie. What would you give that? Lukey can't be fair ranking this. So, Rosie, 1 to 10. How would you give that one?
That's a good 6.5.
6.5?
On the joke?
Yeah.
Or the trade?
No.
Oh, the joke? Yeah, thank you.
The joke.
Nobody cares about the trade.
Nobody cares about the trade.
I care about the joke. Can I give you one friendly critique? Friendly critique.
It's never friendly when you set
it up
that way.
It's a friendly critique. I can now, maybe it's because we worked together for a year, I now sense when you're setting up the lean joke.
I know, I get too excited.
Like, it comes
to me and I get too excited.
Yeah, it's like you almost have to play it where you're going to say something profound and then you whip out the, and that's why it's going at a snail's pace.
You're right. I am like a little kid when I see a ball pit at a fast food restaurant. I am pumped up.
Very sad. By the way, coming up at 4 o'clock, a possibility for the New York Mets to acquire a guy, but it will really test our limits. I'll give you the guy at 4 o'clock. We may break Positive Tommy.
Wow.
That is my prediction, that this idea may break Positive Tommy Lugow. We'll get to that at 4. Real quick before we get back to your calls, Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres has been a guy that's been argued about on this station for a couple years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sort of been a defender on him only because I think he's a productive player. I think he's still a useful player.
I'm in lockstep with you, by the way. I've been a longtime defender.
And we'll see if this broke you on him, because this hurt me last night. If you're Gleyber Torres, you can't say, I'm a second baseman. You're not good enough to say, I'm a second baseman. You cannot tell your manager or anybody on this roster who's doing everything they can to win, hey guys, sorry, I'm not playing third base. You're not good enough to do that. And so I had a big issue with Gleyber Torres suggesting, I ain't moving to another position.
Gleyber Torres lost me last night.
You lost your tone.
It was such a bad quote that when I first read it following the game, I thought it was a fake tweet. Like, I thought people were just putting it out there with the, and I was like, oh my God, he really said this.
Right.
You cannot say that. You cannot say that when you have been at the core of the Yankee offensive struggles. I know he's heated up of late. And when you have, you know, let's be self-aware. I know that not everything has been his fault. He was a plus hitter last year for this team. You have been overall a major disappointment compared to what the Yankees thought they were getting and thought that you'd be an MVP candidate for this team for years to come. When they make a trade and add to the team and you're sitting there and your idol is Juan Soto or one of your friends is Juan Soto in this roster and you're trying to win a World Series, your attitude has to be, I will do anything to help the team, not I'm a second baseman. I'm sorry. It's a terrible look.
And look, I think Gleyber Torres could move to third base and be decent. Again, not necessarily.
I wouldn't dare try that, but yes. He could over the career. My problem, dude, is to do a move like that, you have to go through like a month of spring training for me to figure this out. You cannot do that in August with everything on the line.
Yeah, so here's the exact quote from Gleyber Torres. So you can hear what he said. Do you want to hear the fake one first or the real one?
Let me hear the real one so I have his real voice in my head.
No. I don't have the audio of the real one.
Okay.
I have a read quote of the real one, and then we have fake Gleyber Torres. Let's do fake one first.
All right, fine. That's fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I warn you, this is not really Gleyber Torres, but it sounds like him, and we can imagine him saying this. So, ladies and gentlemen, pretend Gleyber Torres.
I'm a second baseman. That's what I play, you know? If they don't like that, then they can trade me before Tuesday. Last time I played shortstop, it messed with my head, you know? So I'm not moving. And honestly, I don't like shaving my beard anyway.
By the way, that's the immortal. That's the guy who was creating fake AIs a couple weeks ago with Aaron Boone, and we played them. The immortal, I guess, is his name on social media.
Okay.
So that is not really Gleyber Torres.
It could have been, though.
Which part would have given it away? The I don't like shaving part?
That was at the end was where it got me. Because when he first said the quote, I actually froze for a second. I was like, wait a minute, I thought we weren't playing the real thing. AI is scary. It just is. I know everybody say that every time. It is.
No, I agree. Especially when you don't know. See, what we're trying to do is we're trying to let you know that that's not real.
Right.
If I played that without giving you a warning, you know, it'd be a little bit of an issue.
And honestly, I don't like shaving my beard anyway.
So here's what Gleyber said. We had a conversation, and that's he's referring to Aaron Boone. We had a conversation. Everything is still on the table. I think in a couple of days, I'm going to take some grounders at third, just in case. I'm just kind of ready for anything. But I'm a second baseman. I play second.
Yeah, I mean, the full quote's not as bad, but you just can't end it with I'm a second baseman. Because also, you weren't a second baseman.
You were a shortstop.
You were a shortstop.
I think the problem is, yes, this isn't like, screw you, trade me like the fake audio
the
is.
The captain of the team wasn't a center fielder. What does he play now?
Exactly. That's part of the problem. Like, I think if you're Gleyber Torres, you have to take the approach that Jazz Chisholm took when he came here and said, put me wherever you want. I just want to win. And I think that's the mistake, that Gleyber Torres gave the, yeah, it's on the table. Yeah, I'll take some grounders. I'm ready for anything.
You're not good enough.
I'm a second baseman. I play second. And that's the problem.
And you also can't misplay a ball at second base on the same night you say that.
Bro, that makes it worse.
Now, for those who missed, because maybe you tuned out, the game was over. It was 8-2 in the ninth inning. I think it was supposed to be the last play of the game. I think it was two outs and nobody got two outs.
I think I felt guilt from the night before. I was there to the bitter end last night.
That's what I like to hear. That's him saying, I can't leave early. But if you're Gleyber Torres, you can't do that. Honestly, you have to say to Aaron Boone and to the media and to Yankee fans, I want to win. I want to win so badly, they could put me at third base. They could put me at second base. Go this far. Watch this. They could put me behind the plate. I'd put the tools of ignorance on. I'll do whatever it takes to win. Because you're right, Sean. The captain of the team has essentially done that for the last few years.
And, bro, you're about to be a free agent. It ain't just the Yankees looking at you. You don't want to sound like basically a malcontent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of money riding on this. You need everything to go your way, especially since the season hasn't.
No question. I think it was a big mistake. We'll see if he ends up at third base. My honest prediction is that we are going to see Jazz. Now I'm intimidated.
Here we go.
Because I used it so many times.
Here we go.
I think that we are going to see Jazz Chisholm play third base sooner than you think. Has the Yankee lineup popped out yet? Do we have a Yankee lineup today?
No.
Okay.
No. Do you want to guess where Jesse Winker's hitting, though?
I'm going to go with... Oh, the Met lineup is out?
The Met lineup is out.
Lindor, Nimmo, J.D. Alonso's 1-4. And then 5 beyond is like, it could be anybody. And they're facing a righty. Mm-hmm. By the way, maybe Winker. I wouldn't be surprised if Winker is protecting Pete Alonso and batting fifth, because I could see them going lefty and then Vientos, lefty, and then Alvarez. That'd be my prediction.
Alvarez is not in the lineup tonight.
No Alvarez in the lineup?
No.
What the hell are we doing?
Winker, Vientos, McNeil, Torrens, and Bader.
So Winker's batting fifth.
Yeah, Winker's batting fifth.
There you go. Welcome to New York, Jesse Winker. He'll get a nice big hand as he makes his second plate appearance as a New York Met. Let's go to Anthony in Norwalk, Connecticut. How you doing today, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
All right. So I'm a huge Yankees fan, and I'm very optimistic when it comes to the Yankees. Like, for reference, on Wednesday night, I sat there all nine innings to see if the Yankees could come back against the Mets.
Oh.
But I'm just cringing at all these Yankees fans coming in here, calling, acting like everything's fine because we got lucky in Fenway this weekend. I mean, that's the second time they've won two games in a row since June 13th, I believe, in Kansas City.
Right.
No. And, oh, yes, the Oriole game before the break.
Yep. And, I mean, Friday night, you know, only 48 hours ago, everyone was calling for Cashman's head. And I don't think there was a single person in the world, maybe aside from Boone, that believed they were going to hold that three-run lead.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, the Red Sox found a way to outsuck the Yankees, so we got lucky there.
Yeah,
and then you guys even said if Rodon got pulled from that game yesterday, the Yankees don't win. So my question is, this bullpen is not built for October in an era where you need to have a bullpen. So am I crazy to say that the Yankees need to, you know, go all in and go get a guy like Mason Miller, even if it costs you everything?
I think that, well, first of all, no, I don't think you're trading Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez for Mason Miller, who I think is hurt right now, but can they use another bullpen arm? Absolutely.
I think he's hurt. He punched a table.
Is that how he got hurt?
He broke his pinky punching a table.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Punching a table.
A little bit of an attitude out there in Oakland.
At least send his own body through a table. Like, he's a Bill fan or he's a Dudley boy.
We learned he's got a lot of Amari Stoudemire.
Yes. Yeah. I think they should add a reliever at the trade deadline. I don't think it's got to necessarily be top of the market. Yeah. We're seeing what the prices are in adding relievers right now.
And what gave me two pauses here that they're not going to add a big reliever. Number one, the Jazz Chisholm trade. Mm-hmm. The fact that nothing more was included and you didn't also get Tanner Scott told me they're not getting Tanner Scott. Because once you're
not necessarily.
But once you're that close and you make a deal with Jazz Chisholm, it tells me you were far enough away on acquiring Tanner Scott that they were pulling the trigger on that deal then. Also, I mean, Jack Curry, who is as plugged in as anybody with the Yankees, essentially alluded to that the Yankees were close for a couple guys with the Rays, including Pete Fairbanks. And then quickly that spiraled Saturday night to there's not an imminent deal. And those were the two big names out there.
I don't think that means they won't get them. And by the way, those two guys, one of those two additions would be great.
I'm more negative that they're going to add a big weapon. I think they'll add somebody, but those would be one of the two big weapons.
Look, to answer our last caller's point, because he said a couple of things. Number one, the reason I believe
that the Yankees' turnaround is imminent is because I've always believed the Yankees were not nearly as bad as the way they were playing for a month. That's number one. And then number two, sometimes a win kind of helps turn your season around. We cited earlier in the show, could rewind on the Odyssey app, that game in Atlanta for the 2009 Yankees.
Yep.
Where Francisco Cervelli hit the home run, Joe Girardi got ejected, and for whatever reason, that was the game that turned the Yankee season around.
Why does it continue to feel like me and you were the only ones around here who remember that game? Well, we've cited it so much.
You know why, though? Because, first of all, seasons are sometimes defined by that. Yeah.
I cited it yesterday on the air, too.
Well, it's a good thing to cite.
Yeah.
Because when I think back to 2009's regular season, that's the game that kind of jumps out at you. Saturday's game against the Red Sox, beating Kenley Jansen, or at least coming back against Kenley Jansen. The back-and-forth nature of the game. The idea it was Trent Grisham who doubled off the wall. It just reeked of a game that kind of sparks your season.
But it only mattered more because of what happened last night. Because I thought the Yankees had a moment like that a couple weeks ago, and that was the night versus Toronto when Stroman was yelling.
Sure.
And Gleyber Torres had that. And what happened the next day on Saturday? We find out Soto had gotten hurt.
Right.
He was out of the lineup, and the Yankees went for a dud on a Saturday. That's why winning last night Rodon's performance was big, because it allows a moment like Saturday to resonate with the team when you back it up with another win.
I'll tell you the other thing. We don't have the Yankee lineup yet, but let's just assume that Giancarlo Stanton is in that lineup, and let's just assume that Jazz Chisholm is also in the Yankees lineup.
Yeah.
And I said this to you last week. It's a part of why I remained optimistic that the Yankees could turn their season around. If you add one legitimate bat and you activate Giancarlo, and that's long before even Dominguez being called up, the Yankee lineup is just going to feel different. It's
going to
feel longer, and it's going to feel better.
Especially with every waking day that passes, Austin Wells feels like he's coming into his own.
Absolutely. He's producing it. As much as we just ripped Gleyber Torres, he's also producing. So when that Yankee lineup gets posted tonight, and we'll present it to you, you're going to feel different looking at it.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it and say, okay, that's far different than last week when Jahmy Jones was leading off and J.D. Davis was batting cleanup. Was that last week?
That was Tuesday night,
It's
Monday night. It's only 6 days ago that was a thing, and both of those guys basically are Long Island Ducks now.
That's crazy. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Met fans, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to sit down. I want to open up your mind. There may be a trade target out there that's realistic, that fits exactly what you want, but it will feel very, very dirty.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.